an opportunity to use a power tool.
Okay, are you game for the chainsaw or you want to use an axe? What's your preferred tool?
I'm still at the Hagevik Training Center for Capital City Fire and Rescue's Fire Ops 101. I've been invited to the recent day-long event to be part of a small group of city officials and Juno Media to find out what it's like to work as a firefighter and EMT.
Up here, and before you set foot on the roof, what do? You're sounding it, right? Really solid. Put some back into it. You want to see if it's spongy? You want to feel possibly...
This exercise is ventilating a roof, something that must be done during any structure fire to clear out the smoke before a two-man attack crew enters a building.
Yeah, that's...
I sound out placement of the roof rafters and joists with a pike pole, essentially a very long fireplace poker. My partner is career firefighter Eric Goldsberry. He's got my back and my feet as we climb up on a roof training prop, a reconstruction of a typical roof with joists and trusses and plywood surface.
Step on up on your roof.
We're wearing full turnout gear, including SCBAs, the air tanks and regulators for entering a smoky environment. A ladder has been laid on top of the roof with the far end hooked over the peak for a secure climb. Goldsberry shows me how to use another cool firefighter's multi-tool called a Halligan. Essentially, it's a wrecking bar or crowbar with an L-shaped end that has a pick and an adze. I throw the pick end into the roof, and voila, another foot support.
So, where do you think your trusses are?
Yeah.
Look at your plywood.
Yeah.
For one,
there's one right about here.
Yeah, we're lucky because we can see the screws along here.
Yeah.
I choose the chainsaw instead of the axe, and I sort of miss my opportunity to channel my inner Conan the Barbarian. I make four cuts and a square as instructed and try not to cut too deep into the roof joists and rafters. This is why a well-maintained chain saw or circular saw for metal roofs are important for firefighters. I leave a bit of wood in the final corner of the cut pattern to hold up the plywood. Goldsberry hands me a pike pole.
All right, now you got this tool.
Ah.
Knock that thing out.
I punch a corner of the plywood, it swivels up and falls down into the new hole, just as planned to kick smoke and fire downwind and away from me.
Get down there, and you're knocking out the sheetrock of the ceiling below.
Right.
So now if that fires that roof below, it's got a nice chimney for all that stuff to go out.
With the attic now ventilated, a two-man attack crew with a hose can enter the structure.
Successfully ventilated the roof. You got all your fingers and toes, right?
Well, yeah.
Hey, there you go. All right, it's a good day. Let's come on down.
All right.
Captain John Krebsbach explains the difference between ventilating the fire and feeding the fire.
If you do ventilate it too soon, you will contribute to fire spread because you're actually, you know, allowing more air and whatnot for that fire to spread. So when they get ready to ventilate, the nozzle team has to be ready to be putting water on the fire. So it has to be a coordinated effort. And everything. And same thing, the nozzle team can't be in there. A lot of times they don't want to be in there if you haven't ventilated yet because of the heat or the potential of a flashover or backdraft.
Only 2 hours into this day and light bulbs are starting to go off. I haven't even done the tough stuff yet. Tomorrow on Morning Edition, we'll put those air packs to good use in rooms filled with fire and toxic smoke.
There's a lot of skilled knowledge that goes into being